SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be diving into Dallas Jenkins and his interview with Alan Parr on YouTube, where he doubles down on his assertion that Mormons, you know, can worship the same Jesus as Christians do, and also how he lies about the ministry status of the Chosen. So we're going to talk about this, but first I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support us over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's our Patreon-like system, but the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. Now, Evangelical Dark Web has definitely been one of the leading voices against the Chosen. We have sort of a crusade against the Chosen, and rightfully so. This show is basically the Shack of this decade. It is basically like the Shack, but slightly better. It's not as obviously heretical as the Shack, but it's still an unfaithful adaptation of Scripture. It just casually contradicts Scripture where possible. And it's also worth noting that it's not a good television show. As far as, like, good television shows, it doesn't even match up with an average television show. The production value, the acting, and the writing just do not match up. I don't like watching people do bad Mexican accents in order to act as first century Galileans. So, with that said, we're going to dive into this interview. Alan Parr, we're going to start. We're going to watch two sections of this interview. We're going to watch them in reverse chronological order, but there's a reason for that. One is the Mormon question, so we're going to cover that first. It has some context that I want to set up for the next section, which is the ministry section. So here we go.
Just criticism that people have had, and it's just, you know, your relationship with the Mormon community. And talk to us a little bit about, obviously, your relationship with, and I don't know how much you're at liberty to talk about this at this point, but your relationship with Angel Studios. It's my understanding that Angel Studios is owned by two Mormon men, or at least by a couple of Mormons, and and you know, what role did they play? Was it a partnership that you all had? Was it, what type of arrangement did you all have? And then I believe you've broken away, or you're not affiliated with them anymore. Kind of what, if anything, kind of happened to kind of
So there's an answer that he's not going to talk about, and it's that the Chosen has separated from the Angel Studios, not because they're Mormons, but because, you know, as Mr. Krabs would say, money. So the Chosen has a nonprofit foundation that it set up, which basically was a funding apparatus for season 4, called the Come and See Foundation. So this is a nonprofit 501c3 that is set up to fund the marketing and production of the Chosen. Now, again, if you know anything about film, what are the two biggest costs on any project? The production and then the marketing. Sometimes we're seeing in films nowadays that the marketing could actually exceed the production budget on some projects. So that's a pretty big deal, a pretty big detail for him to leave out. There are also at least one lawsuit regarding The Chosen and Angel Studios. I believe, you know, I think one of them has to do with poaching a former employee, and Angel Studios is suing that employee for leaving them or whatever, breach of contract or something. So there's a lawsuit or two surrounding The Chosen, and I believe that's also why he's not at liberty to discuss. And I believe Alan Parr knows this, and that's why he doesn't even... I don't want to say wisely, because I don't really think it's a wisdom question, but he shrewdly avoids bringing up any lawsuits.
I love how when some of these topics come up, it's like, how do I word this properly? Exactly. How do we be delicate and nuanced? It's funny. This is one of the things that connected you and me, was because when I saw your video about The Chosen, which I appreciated, I actually reached out through a mutual friend and said, hey, there's something you said on the video that I do want to clarify. Mm-hmm. And you appreciated that. And we had a good conversation about it, which is you were thinking and you opined that one of the reasons why maybe I was careful with how I talked about these issues, because I didn't want to turn off LDS audiences. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't ever make decisions based on trying to avoid criticism or avoid controversy, or, you know, I don't try to avoid turning people off on matters of importance. And you're like, oh, appreciate hearing that. Appreciate that clarity. Let's talk about it. You know? Yeah. So that's what I love that. So a couple of things. So the Angels,
I just got to say here, I don't believe that for a second. I think he's lying about that. And, you know, I've watched enough of The Chosen to see that they definitely do some things to cater to some audiences, but he's going to make the claim that, you know, The Chosen is an evangelical show, but it's really a mega church show. It's really seeker friendly. Bill Hybels, Life.Church level of theology here. It's not really evangelicalism, and it doesn't hold a candle to the reformers.
The studio of it all, they were a huge part of the launching of this show. They were the ones who saw my short film and who had the idea for crowdfunding, and who hosted the website and the app that launched this show. And the show wouldn't have existed if it wasn't for their initial support. So we're no longer partnered with them. They were a distribution partner. That's no longer the case. They're a licensee now. I'm not at liberty to talk about all the reasons why. It has nothing to do with the LDS thing. I have LDS folks in my organization still. So I have no problem working with anyone who is going.
Again, it's the lawsuits.
To work hard to get this show out to the world. They have zero input or influence on the content of the show. Mm-hmm. I make it very clear it's an evangelical show. My LDS friends and coworkers are the first ones to say, we don't have any influence on the show. And partly we don't want to, because we don't want anyone to think. They understand the controversy of it. They go, we want anyone to think that there's some sort of influence in this. And we use the set in Goshen, Utah. There's an extraordinary Jerusalem recreation that we use for at least a third of our filming that's owned by the LDS Church. They've been extraordinary partners, but they will tell you, and we will tell you, the LDS Church is not an official endorser of The Chosen. We're not partnered formally. They're a church. They have no, it wouldn't be a wise decision for them to be signed on to a formally or some official partnership with a TV show, and vice versa. So the LDS issue is just something that it got some controversy, because several years ago on a YouTube interview, I made the comment that I was referring to a few of my LDS friends. And I said, I'm not speaking for the LDS Church. I'm not talking about their formal doctrine or anything like that. I'm talking about some of these LDS friends that I have do love the same Jesus that I do. Now, we may have some disagreements about some aspects of it, but some of these brothers that I know, that I have had deep, intense, dozens of hours of conversations with, might not actually sign on to, or might have a different viewpoint than what the official church doctrine is. Or the official church doctrine, much like the evangelical world, has different sects and different denominations within it. And so I think it's dangerous to speak for any one particular group. I know you don't love it when you see some video about, oh, evangelicals believe this. You're like, well, not all evangelicals believe that. So there are some things about, so anyway, I made that comment, and it's been taken out of context to present the position that I think the entire LDS church believes the same thing that I as an evangelical do, or loves the same Jesus I do. And I don't hold to that belief, but I do know that there's nuance within all people groups and within all denominations.
So let's call him out there. 'Cause again, this guy's a liar, And let's really see if he was really taken out of context during that interview that he gave on a Mormon podcast. So here is Protestia. They posted this video. So this is from them.
Logical differences, but we love the same Jesus. As you know full well, in the evangelical community, I'm not necessarily proud to say Latter-day Saints don't have the best reputation.
I'll put a bad rap.
To put it mildly, yes. And I grew up having certain beliefs about the Mormon or LDS community, whatever. I know you guys are, the terms change a lot, so, or have changed recently, so forgive me if I,
you're fine,
if I don't use the proper terminology all the time, but
I just want to make clear that I'm going to dead name them as Mormons. I don't care what they want to call themselves. Just going to say. But you notice what he's doing is that he is apologizing for how evangelicals have viewed the Mormons, which includes, as we alluded to on a recent live stream here on Evangelical Dark Web, that they were driven out of New York and then Missouri, by the Christian governance there. So you love to see that, actually, unironically. And that is why they settled in Utah. So just to be clear, evangelical Christians, Protestant Christians, there's a reason why we do not like Mormons, and it's not because of a minor theological difference. It's because their backstory, the backstory of Mormonism, is pretty much the same backstory as Islam, except Islam is actually more monotheistic. They only tweak one thing, or they tweak one premise in the Bible, and that's Israel, Ishmael, and Jacob, Ishmael and Isaac, and stuff like that. So they, you know, basically say that Arabs are the chosen people. Mormonism kind of takes that to a more American context. But if you look at an angel appearing and giving a false gospel, that is the story, that is the backstory of Islam. That is the backstory of Joseph Smith. So that is what's going on here. And he's trying to downplay these very significant differences.
One of the most interesting things about this whole project has been my relationship with different denominational or faith traditions that I didn't have before. I've learned so much more about the LDS community than I thought I knew. And what's funny about the LDS folks is you guys seem to be, even though you're the most controversial, you seem to be the least confrontational. It's just like, hey, we all love Jesus. Let's just, I just want to let you know we love the show. And when people start going, hey, you're a Mormon, you're going to hell, you just like, hey, whatever. It's like it kind of seems to roll off your back. Maybe it's because you're used to being on the outside sometimes about it. But so even if I had significant disagreements with the LDS community, which I've learned I have fewer than I thought.
It's probably because Mormons are nice people, but they can't defend their beliefs at all. Like that's pretty much it. They can't defend their beliefs, but they're nice people.
But I did. But even with that, I was okay. I was comfortable with that because as long as they're treating the show properly, that's all that matters. So it's been, I can honestly say it's been one of the top three most fascinating and beautiful things about this project has been my growing brother and sisterhood with people of the LDS community that I never would have known otherwise, and learning so much about your faith tradition, and realizing, gosh, for all the stuff that maybe we don't see eye to eye on, that all happened, that's all based on stuff that happened after Jesus was here. The stories of Jesus we do agree on, and we love the same Jesus. That's not something that you often hear. Sometimes it's like, oh, they believe in a different Jesus than we do.
So just to recap, he is on a Mormon podcast. He's not really putting a limiting factor here on, he's just talking about his friends. He's making a pretty broad statement about Mormons loving the same Jesus as Christians. This wasn't taken out of context.
SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors, SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Yeah. No, it's the same. I mean, I'll sink or swim on that statement. And it's controversial. And I don't mind getting criticized at all for the show. And I don't mind being called a blasphemer. I don't like it when my friends are. And I've made it very clear that if I go down, I'm going down swinging, protecting my friends and my brothers and sisters. And so I don't deny we have a lot of theological differences, but we love the same Jesus. Nomination.
So this is once again a trend that you see of people trying to put human relationships ahead of obedience to God, and it's just not a biblical response to these types of issues. You don't lie about what Christians believe and what Mormons believe to justify a human relationship. This just isn't valid. So this is the clip about Dallas Jenkins and whether the Chosen is a ministry or not. And again, he just omits some pretty major facts about how the Chosen operates.
So was, you know, one guy made a response video, and one of the things that they were saying was, hey, how can Dallas Jenkins make the claim that this is not a ministry, that this is a for-profit entity when, you know, everything that we can look at from our lens is that this is a ministry. I mean, you're creating Christian work, and you're hoping that it will be a discipleship tool. You're hoping that it will be an evangelistic tool. And everything from your side seems to be, hey, I want this to bring people closer to Christ one way or another. But then, you know, on the other side, you're saying.
So I wonder if he's referencing some of my work. I kind of doubt it, because he framed it in a much more optimistic way. But we have, and I've done videos and articles where I revealed the sermon outlines, the sermon prep that the Chosen offers. And it's pretty bad at best. Like, if I went to a church that gave that sermon for the first, you know, I'm visiting this church, I'm church shopping or whatever, and that was the sermon that they preached, even the best of the six sermons that I saw, I'm not going back, because that was crap. But so it was seeker friendly, a little bit prosperity gospel as well. It was bad. And this was material put out by the Chosen. I did a video on that. So yes, the Chosen is definitely a ministry.
Saying, well, this is not a ministry, which then would allow you to hire people of different backgrounds, maybe different faith backgrounds. Clearly with the pride flag, which we'll touch on in just a moment, you know, maybe even people from different, you know, sexual preferences and things of that nature, if they're good at their work. So what would you say to people who say, hey, you know, how can you say this isn't a ministry?
It almost sounds like a cop out, like I'm doing ministry, and but until I get criticized, then I go, oh, it's not a ministry. I can do what I want. Yeah. So I have.
That's exactly what it is. And he's using employment, you know, he's using the fact that he hires non-Christians as his cudgel to say it's not a ministry. That's his argument right here. And it was alluded to by Alan Parr, and now he's going to give his argument.
I have a personal mission. My wife and I have a personal mission. We always want to bring people closer to Jesus. Now, the work of conversion is God's work, the Holy Spirit's work. It's not our work, but we are hoping to introduce people to an authentic Jesus. We're hoping to remove veils, hurdles, and walls that have been put up, and we want people to come closer to Christ, for sure. That is our personal ministry. That said, I have a cast and crew of over 200 people when we're filming the show. On our company, the Chosen, the year-round organization, over 65 full-time employees. I'm not forcing them, and I'm not forcing our organization to be to have the same exact mission and that I do. So when I'm hiring cast and crew, who many of whom are not believers, in the same way that if a church is hiring a construction company to build an addition to their building, they're not saying, in order to build this addition on our building, you must become a member of our church, you must sign on to a statement of faith, and you must share our theology. They go, we want the best people to build this church. What happens in...
So it's an interesting analogy that he brings up, but it also undermines his point, because a church is a ministry, right? So them hiring a contract, them contracting labor to build it, you know, and do a project, you know, renovations on a building, is actually exactly like the Chosen contracting out people to do the casting and to do the filming, to do the acting. These are contracts. How many of these people are, you know, full-time employees of the Chosen versus how many of them are contractors? You know, how many of them have done a W-2? And how many are just 1099? So he's so bad at this. The church hires out people to do renovations on their building. That's a contractor. So yes, they're not really part of the church's ministry. They're being hired by the church to do a job. Same thing goes here with the Chosen. Except the Chosen doesn't really have, they're not really competent in their non-disparagement clauses, where the actors were attacking the fans over the gay flag issue. So they're not very competent in enforcing non-disparagement clauses. Or, you know, they don't view defending homosexuality as disparagement to the Chosen. So
inside the church, what happens from the pulpit? Yes, we have a ministry, but the construction of this building, I mean, even talk about like the printing of the Bible, people who deliver the Bible in a FedEx truck. Like we don't demand that they sign on to this theology or this mission. So we say we want the best people for each particular job so that the printing of the Bible, the delivery of the Bible is done in an efficient and good way. So our actors, I would say the majority, over half of them, are not traditional believers. Some of them have become so from working on the show.
Okay, which actors of The Chosen are, you know, Christians? Which ones? Because it's not Jonathan Rumi. Again, he's gay affirming, and he's apparently also into necromancy and, you know, grave soaking and that type of nonsense. So Jonathan Rumi, no, I wouldn't consider him a Christian at all. He's just a very one-dimensional actor. I mean, he seems like a decent actor for his one dimension, as Jesus Revolution showcased. But nonetheless, it's really him that you're seeing on The Chosen. It's not really Jesus that you're seeing. It's him. It's his mannerisms. So, he's not a believer. But who on The Chosen is? You know, the whole gay flag controversy revealed that, yeah, are any of these people actually Christians? Are there any Christians working on The Chosen?
No. Same with our crew. So, my point in saying that is, as an organization, as a production entity, we are not a ministry. So my personal ministry is one that cast and crew, when they sign on to the show, they know what I'm doing, and they're excited to be part of the show, and they sign on knowing that my portrayal of this character or my work that I do on this production is going to be contributing to what Dallas is doing. But I'm not going to require them to have the exact same motive that I do. the majority of them, this is their job. This is their career. And they go from job to job and they work on other jobs besides the chosen when they're not working on the chosen.
Because they're contractors.
Just don't say when you come on to our set, you have to then, like I said, sign the statement of faith or graft yourself into whatever my personal ministry is. So that's the difference. And yes, we are a for-profit company. And so that means something different too, just for laws. I mean, just for like being a ministry versus a for-profit company, a business, when it comes to hiring practices and all that, there are different laws and requirements that you have to be considerate of. But we also want to be honest with people who are purchasing tickets or whatever, just going like, yeah, this is not a nonprofit. This is our career for the majority of us. And so that's the difference. And there are some people who are uncomfortable with that. And I get that. But I just want to be upfront and honest about who we are. And we don't have a litmus test for who is going to work on our show outside of you're going to work hard. You're going to do a great job and we're all going to do this work together. And whatever your motive is, whatever your background is not my concern outside of a personal relationship, of course. Now, I have a personal relationship with some of the people on my cast and crew who aren't believers or who have different sexual preferences or whatever. And we are.
Would you hire a pedophile?
They're close friends. And of course, I have my own personal conversations and my own personal spiritual conversations that aren't going to be on YouTube videos or in the comment sections.
All right. So that's the last clip that I wanted to share. And just to recap, and what I'm about to say is that, first of all, he's lying about how The Chosen operates because he doesn't want to just be honest. Yes, The Chosen is a for-profit company, but then they set up a non-profit company to fund The Chosen. And if you download The Chosen app on your phone and you see the Come and See Foundation is the nonprofit and they're the distributors of The Chosen TV show. Instead of, you know, pushing the Angel Studios app, they have been pushing Come and See, the Chosen app. So they've replaced that distribution. So he makes a reference to that in the interview. But what he doesn't disclose is that they have a nonprofit in Come and See that is funding The Chosen, the production and the marketing, and they're also distributing The Chosen. Now, this is very shrewd. Now, I'm going to say this as a compliment. Hate the player, not the game, because the game is strong, and I think more Christians should be doing this game that he's doing here. And that is, you're using American tax law and nonprofit status to fund a for-profit venture that is in cahoots. Let's be real. They're in cahoots. And I don't know how legal that is or whether there's a conflict of interest or not. You know, I don't think this is like a political campaign working with a political action committee, which is illegal, but they do it. And, you know, they kind of should anyway. But that's not what this is. It's a for-profit company working with a non-profit company that is the expense cash account for the for-profit company. So The Chosen gets to keep every bit of revenue that they get, you know, from the licensing, the theatrical releases, the direct donations to some degree, the merchandising, or the direct donations go to the Come and See, but then they go to The Chosen. So that's a pretty good business model, if you ask me, to have a nonprofit that covers your major expenses that people just willingly give to because The Chosen is not just a TV show, it's a cult. So that's how The Chosen operates. They're pretty open about that when it's not a Dallas Jenkins interview. And to say that it's not a ministry is a lie. Because they have a nonprofit. That's what funds and distributes the show. Everyone he's talking about that's not a Christian is a contractor. So that's the same thing as a church hiring a renovation crew. He's a liar. And he also believes that Mormons are saved. And he's lying about that as well. So that's all I got to say about that for now. My name's Ray, this is the Evangelical Dark Web, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech. You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.